Let me give you three openings. In the first, the music sounds ceremonial, public, upright. In the second, it sounds pastoral, softer, more open, more associated with the outdoors than with the court. In the third, it sounds learned, not in the sense of smart, but in the sense of inherited craft, of counterpoint, of church or study. Those are not just moods, they are social gestures. That is our subject.
Not expression in the vague sense. Not whether a passage feels happy or sad, but the fact that much 18th and 19th century music speaks in recognizable types.
A march is not just rhythm. A hunt is not just horn writing. A lament is not just slowness. A learned style is not just counterpoint. Each of these carries associations, and composers knew it.
They were not writing into a vacuum. They were writing into a culture of recognizable musical signs. That does not mean music works like a code book. It means style can function rhetorically.
Earlier in the course, you learned to hear melody, harmony, rhythm, texture, form, and orchestration as structures of musical meaning. This lecture shifts the question slightly. It asks not only how the music is built, but what kind of public gesture it is making.
For much of the classical era and well beyond it, composers drew on a shared repertory of topics: pastoral, military, dance, storm, hunt, learned counterpoint, comic bustle, tragic lament, sacred style, and more.
These were not rigid symbols, but neither were they private inventions. They were legible kinds of utterance.
That is why the word rhetoric matters here. Music in this tradition often behaves as though it knows it is addressing someone. It takes up a stance. It enters in a certain social costume. It announces itself as noble, rustic, comic, severe, devotional, or aggressive before the form has even properly begun.
That is one of the great pleasures of mature listening. You stop hearing only a pleasant opening theme. You start hearing a kind of speech act.
Today I want to give you five main ideas: topic, rhetorical stance, style mixture, markedness, and dramatic function. Those will keep the lecture musical rather than merely literary.
A few terms. Topic: a recognizable musical type associated with a social world, affective sphere, or conventional gesture. March, pastoral, hunt, lament, learned style, storm, dance, military signal.
Rhetoric: the art of persuasive or meaningful utterance. In music, this means not only what is said structurally, but how the music seems to address its listener.
Style topic: a more specific label for one of these recognizable idioms. Not all theorists divide them in exactly the same way. The ear matters more than doctrinal neatness.
Learned style: music associated with counterpoint, fugue, imitation, church or scholarly craft. A composer may invoke it not only for structure, but for authority, antiquity, seriousness, or even irony.
Gallant style: a lighter, elegant, conversational style associated with clarity, charm, and surface ease. Often contrasted with learned density.
Markedness:
one gesture feels ordinary inside a context. Another feels specially marked, and therefore meaningful. A sudden fugato inside an otherwise easy movement is marked. So is a military topic inside a lyrical context.
Style mixture:
the collision or coexistence of several topics within one piece. This is one of the great sources of classical drama.
Let us begin with the most obvious kind of topic, the public gesture.
A march does not simply move in regular rhythm, it brings a world with it. Procession, discipline, ceremony, perhaps military display, perhaps civic order.
Listen now.
Do not ask merely whether the pulse is regular.
Ask what social space this music seems to inhabit.
That is why the topic matters. The music has entered in public dress.
This is one of the reasons Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven can establish an entire stance very quickly. Before the harmony has traveled far, before the form has unfolded, the music has already told you something about how it wishes to be heard.
Not everything is inward. Not everything is confessional. Some music arrives standing upright.
Now, pastoral. Pastoral music is not merely gentle music. It usually carries signs of open air, simplicity, drone-like stability, lilting compound meter, pipe or shepherd associations, and a deliberate distance from urban or courtly pressure. Listen now. Do not ask only whether it sounds beautiful. Ask whether it sounds as though it belongs outdoors.
That is the point. The pastoral topic is one of the clearest proofs that style can carry setting without literal depiction.
The music does not have to imitate sheep badly in order to evoke a rural world. It only has to take up the right kind of gesture.
And notice something important here. Once you know the topic, deviations become meaningful. A pastoral opening can later turn stormy. A peaceful drone can become uncanny. The topic gives the composer a field of expectation to work with.
Now, learned style.
This is one of the most important topics for serious listeners because it shows that counterpoint is never just counterpoint. A fugato or imitative texture may also function rhetorically. When a classical composer suddenly writes in a dense, fugal, imitative, church-like, or academically wrought manner, the effect is not only structural. It often says something about authority, rigor, inheritance, antiquity, devotion, or solemnity.
Listen now. Do not hear only many voices. Ask what kind of cultural weight the passage seems to claim.
That is why a learned style passage can feel so marked inside otherwise lighter music. The composer is changing not only technique, but posture.
Haydn does this magnificently. Mozart does it with dramatic tact. Beethoven can turn it into moral force.
The learned style is one of the great ways the past remains present inside classical music. Now, another family of topics. Hunt, military signal, fanfare. These are not identical, but they share an important quality. They are extroverted and socially legible. Horn calls, open intervals, repeated note figures, declarative rhythms. These can tell the listener very quickly that the music is in a world of announcement, pursuit, action, signal, rank, or field energy.
Listen now. Do not get stuck on whether the horns are literally representing a hunt. Ask what kind of outward-directed energy the topic creates.
This matters because topics are rarely just picturesque. They shape dramatic expectation. A hand topic can suggest nobility, or danger, or aristocratic sport, or comic overstatement, depending on context. A military topic can mean glory, discipline, aggression, or parody. The gesture is recognizable first. Its precise dramatic function depends on where and how it appears. Now, lament. This is one of the most powerful topics because it connects gesture, interval, and rhetoric so directly. A lament may involve descending motion, chromatic burden, suspended grief, slow tread, or a bass pattern associated with grief traditions. More broadly, it is music that seems to carry sorrow in a culturally recognizable way. Listen now. Do not ask only whether it is slow or minor. Ask whether the phrase seems weighted downward. That downwardness matters. The lament is not merely an emotion. It is a mold of utterance. And because it is recognizable, composers can use it straightforwardly, intensify it, interrupt it, or place it against conflicting topics. This is where rhetoric becomes dramatically fertile. A march can be interrupted by lament. A pastoral can be invaded by storm. A learned style can suddenly appear in a comic setting, and the whole meaning of the passage changes. Now the most important point in the lecture. Topics matter individually, but the richest music rarely stays inside only one. Classical drama often lives in style mixture. A movement may begin in a gallant, easy, conversational manner, and suddenly harden into learned counterpoint. A ceremonial opening may dissolve into lyric inwardness. A rustic dance may be interrupted by tragic rhetoric. A comic gesture may collide with something severe. This is one reason Haydn and Mozart are so endlessly alive. They do not simply state topics. They play them against one another. Listen now to a passage where the music seems to change not just theme, but social world. That is where mature listening becomes especially rewarding. You are no longer hearing only contrast. You are hearing a change in rhetorical stance. The music has changed clothes, and therefore changed what it means. So what are musical topics? They are not a secret code book. They are not arbitrary labels pasted on afterward. And they are not imaginary. They are recurring gesture types through which composers draw on a shared musical culture. A march says one kind of thing, a pastoral says another, a lament says another, a learned fugato says another. And when these collide, classical music becomes dramatically articulate in a very particular way. That is why rhetoric matters. Music in this tradition does not only unfold, it speaks. This lecture sits naturally beside form, orchestration, and composer style. Form tells you how a movement is organized. Orchestration tells you how sound is assigned. Topics tell you what kind of gesture the music is making within that organization and assignment. It also changes how you hear Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, and later composers. After this, a horn call, dance rhythm, fugato, or storm passage should not feel like neutral material. It should feel like a choice of rhetorical stance. And it prepares the ground for opera, where topics become even more dramatically charged, and for the historical lectures, where some topics survive long after the classical period that codified them. Check yourself. I'm going to play 4 short excerpts. For each one, ask not what form is this or what key is this. Ask a different question. What kind of public gesture is this music making? Is it ceremonial, pastoral, learned, signal-like, lamenting, dance-like, or something else? If one excerpt sounded upright, processional, or public, you may have been hearing march or ceremonial rhetoric. If one sounded open, lilting, and deliberately non-urban, pastoral was probably in play. If one suddenly became dense, imitative, or severe, learned style may have entered. If one felt burdened downward or grief-weighted, lament rhetoric was likely doing the work. That is enough for now. At this stage, hearing that music can take up a recognizable stance matters more than naming every topic perfectly. Before next time, listen to one Haydn movement, one Mozart movement, and one Beethoven movement. For each one, ask, what kind of gesture does the music begin with? Does that gesture remain stable or is it interrupted? And if it changes, what new social or dramatic world has entered? If you can begin hearing changes of topic as changes of stance, then musical rhetoric has already become audible.